Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We are 8 lines from the top. We're going back to focus on the statement of Shmuel with the line of Gufa. We're going back to focus on Shmuel's statement that we said before. We said Gufa Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said that if a case where you had a Shlosha Achim and 3 brothers, 2 of them were Reuben and Shimon, are married to 2 sisters, and each had another wife as well. The married brothers died, leaving the 2 sisters and their taros to the 3rd brother for Yibu. So the Gemara says, Shmuel told us, Chalat l'achayos lo nifteru tos. If the Yavam does chalitza with the sisters, then the tzara of Reuben and Shimon would not be removed. They would have to do chalitza as well. However, l'tzaros nifteru acharos. But if you do chalitza with the tzaros, so Reuben and Shimon's not just the sisters, Reuben and Shimon were married to Sarah Rachel, or sisters, so not to Sarah Rachel, but rather to whoever, Yocheved and Miriam. So Yocheved and Miriam are not related. So if you do it to those, in the cases of if Levi does it to those Latzaros, then you don't have to worry about the co-wives either. So now the Gemara is going to, before you give a little bit of Akdama, the Gemara brings down a case for Shmuel, another case which involves only 2 brothers. One of the brothers had 2 wives and died without any children. The surviving brother, who was a Yavam, he gave a get to the future person who had to do Yibur Chalitza with. Now, a get is not really, on a Daraisa level, count at all. On a get is, on a Minatora, you have to do only Yibur Chalitza. Those are the only 2 options. However, the Rabbanan made a gzera that if you do give a get, it's going to be like you den Chalitza, only Lachumra, meaning you still need to do Chalitza. You're not allowed to do, Yibum again, just like it's an Isra Daraisa to then go back and take the one who you did Chalitza with. If your person, Reuben does, Reuben dies without any children, and Shimon does Chalitza with Reuben's wife, there's an Isra Daraisa to then do Chalitza again. So we have that gzera Darabanan on the same thing, that if Shimon does get with Reuven's wife, on a Darabana level, we hold that he would not be allowed to do Yibum, only Chalitza can you do, because we're afraid that we give it the same token, because we're afraid you're going to get confused with Chalitza and say, oh, just like he did get, he's allowed to then do to have relations with her and get married to her, so too when you do Chalitza, you'll be allowed to get married to her afterwards, which would be an Isra Dereisa. So Chazal therefore made a Takana Darabanan that a person who does a get on a Darabanan level would have to make sure to then do Chalitza. Now again, this is only a level of Darabanan. On a level of Daraisa, you fully have to do the Zika connection still fully remains intact, and you could either do Yibam Chalitza Daraisa, but we don't let you do Yibam because of the Gzera we just mentioned, so you have to do Chalitza, but still, that would be on a level of Daraisa. So according to this case, Shmuel says, Chalatz Labalas Get Lo Niftara Tzara. If the Yavam does Chalitza with the person that you gave the get to, the Tzara is not going to be released, and you'd have to do another Chalitza. However, Tzara Niftara Balas Get. If you do Chalitza with the Tzara, the get would be considered, that would be considered, the one who got the get would be released by that Mamela, because on the level of Daraisa, that would be Chalitza, and therefore we don't have to be concerned there, because the Chalitza was given to the Tzara. The Chalitza performed with the get is considered inferior to the Chalitza that's done with the Tzara, and therefore Shmuel is telling us that according with the Shita, that the person who does the Chalitza of the inferior one cannot release the one who is more of a stronger connection, but the one who has a stronger connection can in fact release the other one from Chalitza. So now Shmuel says, what about if you do Maimar? Maimar, we know, is also Takana Drabanan. Maimar was done, that really Midaraisa, we said you could just have Yibum, even against real onus, even Shogeg, you accidentally don't realize who she is, and you do Yibum. That all those cases, even if it be as Nus, that's the whole thing. Bepashas, that's the whole Shaila. I'm not getting into that, actually. There's a real Shaila about that. I'm not getting into that. But Lamaisa, the Rabbanan or Masaka, that you do Maimar, was equivalent to like getting her married. That should prepare you for doing the Yibum. So if you do Maimar, again, a level of Daraisa means nothing, but still, that remains intact that you should have a Maimar, that you have to divorce her also with a, it looks like a Kiddushin, that Maimar you have to do Chalitza, you also, you would have to do, Chalitza, you would have to do a get as well. Like she's your wife, and she's not allowed to marry anybody, just like you wouldn't for Chalitza also, but she would still be on your level of a Zika until you do a full-fledged Chalitza, but you have to do Chalitza and a get. So Gemara says, Chalitza Bailas HaMaimar Lo Niftara Tzara. So in a similar halacha, if the Yavam does Chalitza with the one who got Maimar, then the Tzara is not going to be released. However, the Tzara, Niftara Bailas Maimar, the Tzara, the co-wife, that would be good to release her, because again, that's a stronger level. The Chalitza done with the person who does the Maimar is considered inferior to the one who's done with the Tzara. This is because the Maimar, again, it doesn't, not enough to release her, you also require a get. Whereas with the Tzara, all you have to do is the Chalitza, therefore it's considered stronger. And whenever the Shmuel Eshitosa, whenever you have a stronger Chalitza, that would include also the inferior level thing that was Zika Ban, that was established, and therefore you would be able to remove through that. So now the Gemara analyzes the first of Shmuel's first halacha, the three halachas that we just said over here, that when you have two sisters and they come before you, do and if he does chalitza with the tzaros, it's going to work. If you do it with the actual sisters, it's not going to work to remove the other the co-wife. So the Gemara says, Ma'ishna lachai es talanuf tzaros. Why is it when the yavam does chalitza with one of the sisters that same sister's co-wife? So again, Reuven was married to Sarah, and Rachel, who her sister, Reuven was married to Sarah, and then Shimon was married to Rachel, her sisters, and Yocheved and Miriam were also married to, Reuven was Yocheved, and Miriam was married to Shimon. Now, if Shmuel told us, if you do Chalitza, if Levi, then Reuven and Shimon both die. So they're both coming for Levi. If Levi does Chalitza with Sarah or Rachel, Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife were sisters, so that would not be good to remove Yocheved and Miriam. You'd have to then do another Chalitza with Yocheved and Miriam. However, if I do it with Yocheved and Miriam, Sarah and Rachel would not need to do Yibum or Chalitza. Really, Chalitza, you're not allowed to Yibum. So the Gemara says, why is it that's the case? You should say, because each of the sisters are considered like his wife's sister through the fact that they were Zika. Since the sisters are not going to be eligible for Yibum, their Chalitza also does not release the Tzara. So the Gemara says, but that should be the same logic should apply by the Chalitza Tzaros Nami. That when you are doing chalitza with the co-wife, also lulifter chayos, that the sister should not be released. Dehavelu tzaros achos isha bezika, for they are the tzara. They are the co-wives of the ones who are in the category of the wife's sister through the zika, just as the co-wife of a sister may not be taken in yibum. So too, the co-wife of a wife's sister through zika also may not be taken in yibum. Why does the Gemara say? Why does Shmuel say that the doing the chalitza of the tzara is going to release the sister? Why should that be? The Gemara at this point is assuming that there's no difference between the iser of the sisters and that of their tzara. Just like the tzara is of an erva in Yibum is rejected like the erva herself, so too the tzara of the quasi-erva is rejected like the erva herself. That's the Gemara's Hanacha. If the zika of the sister and the tzara is equally going to be a problematic, then why? Then when the Shmuel tells us that doing chalitza with the sisters does not release the tzara, his reason should be applicable when he doesn't do it with the tzara also. So why isn't it the same halacha? That's what the Gemara's assuming at this point. So the Gemara points out, no, it must be that Kasavar Shmuel in Zika, Shmuel holds like the opinion that there is no Zika between the Yavam and the Yavama. Therefore, the sisters who fall for Yibum are not going to be sisters to the wife's sisters, and their co-wives are not treated like the co-wives of the wife's sisters because he holds of in Zika. That would explain at least half of the halacha of Shmuel. If the brother does chalitza with the tzaros, he releases the sisters because of they're going to be a co-wife of an erva. The other part of his halacha, though, when it says that there's no zika, even if the brother does chalitza with the sisters, he should be relieved with the co-wives. The Gemara is going to explain that part on a basic point, but we see at least the first half of this question will be answered. So Gemara says, "Va'amar Shmuel, yesh zika." Wait, a problem, a big problem right now. Shmuel said on Daf Yud Ches, Shmuel told us that there is zika, so that would not answer him. So the Gemara says, "No, l'divrei Omer ain zika kamar." Shmuel was really talking to the Shita, who holds the opinion who says that there is no zika, and therefore Shmuel wanted to tell us the halacha of a Tana who holds that there is no zika. If the Yavam does chalitza with the tzara, he thereby releases the sister. Shmuel himself does not hold of this shita. So Gemara says, "L'divrei Omer ain zika kamar." So that ihachi, the Gemara says that that's really true. That Shmuel follows the shita. There's no zika chalat v'achayas amad lenef tzaras. In the case where the Yavam does chalitza with the sisters, why are their co-wives not removed? If there is no zika, the chalitza of the sisters is going to be good enough. Why should he say that this? So this is where we're asking the second point of this question. So Gemara says, "Bishla matzara de Rachel lo tipatan." I understand why Rachel's co-wife would not be released in the base of Rachel's chalitza. They gave it a chalat for Leah, but had a chalat for Rachel. For since the Yavam first did chalitza with Leah and afterward chalitza with Rachel, Avile chalitza de Rachel chalitza psula. Rachel's chalitza fundamentally was lacking since it was already on a level. Rachel already was the sister of a chalitzoso, which is possible from doing yibum, and therefore Shmuel is going to hold that a chalitza which is inferior, i.e., Rachel's chalitza, cannot release that one who has a stronger level of a zika, which would be the tzara in this case. Because here, once you've already done a chalitza with the older one with Leah, then if memela Rachel is going to be patzel anyway to do yibum, so I hold that the chalitza would be inferior. El tzara de Leah tipater, but in the case where you have Leah's co-wife, let her be released based on the fact that Leah does chalitza; she's on the same level as her tzara. As her co-wife, so Leah should be when she's eligible for Yibum Chalitza, she should be done. If you hold of Ein Zika, she should be hold of that they're eligible for Yibum or Chalitza. So that would be a problem. So Gemara says, "My lo niftaru tzaros de ka'amar." So when in the halacha we say that if the Yavam does Chalitza with the sisters, their tzaros, their co-wives are not released. And Shmuel said, "What is this halacha going on? Atzara de Rachel, it applies only to Rachel's co-wife." Shmuel means to say that if the Yavam does Chalitza with the sisters, first Leah and then Rachel, the co-wife is not going to be removed by the fact that she's Rachel's chalutzaso. However, Leah's co-wife and Echanami would be removed from Leah's chalitza. So Gemara says it doesn't fit the lashon of Shmuel. V'had tzaros kamar, because Shmuel said it says that the co-wives are not removed. Co-wives, tzaros. Not it's just tzara. If it was in the singular, tzaros implies that it's both going to be both of them. Leah's and Rachel's wife are not going to be patur. And Leah's is the problem over here. That's the major issue. So Gemara says, no, tzaros to Alma. Shmuel means to say that co-wives in general are not released in this type of situation. Wherever two sisters are having, or are going to have tzaros fall before a man for Yibum, doing the chalitza with the sisters is not going to be able to remove the co-wife also. So therefore, we don't reject Shmuel. The Gemara now is going to point out another point. So if that's the case, that Shmuel says that the tzaros refers specifically to Rachel's co-wife and not to Leah's, chalitza tzarof niftar achayos. In the next statement, when Shmuel says, if he performs chalitza with the co-wives, the sisters are removed, v'yitzaros Rachel mimiftar, but now Rachel is actually released on the basis of chalitza performed by the tzar of Rachel, v'atnan, Asr Adam Batsaras Krovas Chalutzas, so man is forbidden for the co-wife of Chalutzas relatives, meaning that in this case, both Rachel and her co-wife are lower level. And since you cannot take the co-wife in Yibum, and can't only Chalitza is considered deficient, how can it remove Rachel's Chalitza also? Rachel's ban should still be above that level because it's considered an incomplete Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Nami Yischa V'lo Yischa Kamar. Shmuel actually refers to a case where the Yavam began doing Chalitza with one of the two sisters. He did not begin with one of the sisters. Meaning Shmuel said that if the Yavam does Chalitza with the sister, their tzaros are not going to be removed, but if he performed Chalitza with the tzaros, the sisters are going to be removed. He meant the following, Hischa V'achayas. If the Yavam began with one of the sisters, so that means that, in our example, he did it with Leah. So if he did it with Leah, he did Chalitza, then lo yigmar b'tzaros, and he can't finish the sequence by doing Chalitza with the Tzara of the other one. Rachel and her co-wife cannot release them by doing Chalitza with Rachel or her co-wife, because he's able to remove Rachel or her co-wife, because they're already chesaron, you're not allowed to do Chalitza, even with either of them. This non. So really, that's what he's saying. That the moment you start the process with Leah, you no longer could do it with Rachel or with her tzara to remove the other one from there, and you'd have to do chalitza with both of them. But if you started with the co-wife, you originally sought to do Leah and her tzara and performed it with the tzara and not with Leah, yigmaraf b'achayos, then you can complete the sequence even with the sisters. That means that Rachel and her co-wife, you can release both of them by doing chalitza with Rachel. That's what he means. Tastan mutar adam mekrovas tzaras chalitza, so a man is permitted to take the relative of his chalitza's co-wife. Since he's able to take Rachel and Yibum, her chalitza is considered to have a full-fledged effect, and therefore, if he does it with the tzara of the Erev originally, not the Erev himself, again, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. You have Reuven and Shimon who are married to two sisters, and you did, the Reuven and Shimon both die, they come before Levi, they're also married to Yocheved and Miriam. So in our example, if Levi does it with Yocheved, who's not related, so then if you do chalitza with Yocheved, then when it comes to Shimon's wife, which was Sarah and Rivka and Miriam, so then you can do either Yibum or chalitza with either two of them because that would be fine if you hold of Inzika. Another explanation of Shmuel. Ravashi Amar Olam Kedikamar. Ravashi says no. Really, Shmuel's halacha could be understood as he said it. His opening statement when he said if the Yavam does chalitza with the sisters, their tzaras are not going to be released, refers to both sets of the people, meaning Leah and her tzara, as well as Rachel and her tzara. And Shmuel's ruling based off halacha that there is yesh zika. Since Leah and Rachel are both zukukas, so their zika is going to say that each one is forbidden to the Yavam in the category of achos zukukaso. And since neither Leah or Rachel can be taken in Yibum, if chalitza is done with either one of them, it will not release the tzara. Even if the tzara is the first sister to receive the chalitza, it's not going to be good enough. So Shmuel's other statement, he says, but if he does chalitza with the tzara, the sisters are going to be removed, is based on the fact that the chalitza of the tzara is stronger than the actual sisters, because at the end of the day, they could do yibum. And therefore, that would be stronger, mishum de lo elima zika l'shavi l'tzara ke'erva, because the zika is not strong enough to mamish say it's going to be equal to erva herself. That with Rashi's understanding, we've learned the initial understanding of Shmuel, that you can say that there is zika. The zika makes it that both the zikuka or the other relative and her co-wife are going to be aser, but it's still less chamer than the actual tzara herself, and therefore the chalitza of one yavama would be stronger than her tzara, according to Shmuel. That's what comes out of Shmuel. So therefore, that would be coming out of Ravashi's explanation. The Gemara points out, Tana Tagvasi Ravashi, we talk have a brace that supports Ravashi. Chalat Zalachayas Lonif Tutsaros. If the Yavam does chalitza with one of the sisters, the co-wife is going to, sorry, Lonif Tutsaros, they're not going to be released. Chalat Zalachayas Niftar Achayas. This implies that if the co-wives would be the sisters, then they would be released. My time, Mishuda Kosavar Yizika, Vlalima Zika, Lashav Latsarska Erva. The Chora, the Tana is explaining like this way because the teacher there is Zika, and the Zika is not strong enough to make it that the co-wife of an Erva through the Zika are equal to the Erva themselves, as Ravashi wanted to tell us. No, Mani, who is the opinion of the Braisa? Beit Shammai, it's the opinion of Beit Shammai, this Nan, Doesn't have to come onto Ravashi's Chiddush. You could say that this Mishnah is following the Shita Beit Shammai that says that Tzara of an Erva is totally mutter. You could do Yibum or Chalitza with it. Since Beit Shammai permit the Tzara of an Erva to be taken in Yibum, they're obviously going to permit the Tzara of only the problem of a Zik, Achlo Zikakasto, to be married and get married. This is why the Brisa tells us that the Chalitza of the sister doesn't remove the Tzara from the release of the other brother, because in a Hanami they hold that you'd be allowed to do Yibum with him even on a level of Darais, even Darabanan. That's what they held that you could do. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, Yibum, and Yavijam. But wait, the Brisa told us that you can only do Chalitza and you can't do Yibum. Why should it be all subject to Allah of Chalitza? According to Beit Shammai, we know that according to Beit Shammai, Tzara Sever is totally mutter. And according to Beit Shammai, they can mamish have, we had a whole few davim about this, that they can even have Yibum done with them, and that's totally fine. According to Beit Shammai, you would be making creating Mamzirim, according to the Shita. So the Gemara says, but according to, why are we being machmir to only say Chalitza? According to Beit Shammai, you can fully do Yibum. So the Gemara wants to point out, that this Brisa must hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He says, let's make a pshara between everyone's happy, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, that if you do chalitza with the tzara of an erva, that would be okay, because both Beit Shammai, meaning at worst, it would be a chalitza also, but it would not create imam zeros. And therefore, you'd be mekayim both the shita Beit Shammai and really satisfying the opinion of Beit Hillel, because on a practical level, Beit Shammai will let you get married, and Beit Hillel will also hold that it's fine because you didn't do anything wrong, maybe not marry a kohen, but everyone else would be fine. So the Gemara says that this price reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. The Gemara says, wait, can't though. The Yomar Mar Lois speak a Ligmar Sadavar Achin Iftar Asha. They didn't manage to do it before, they didn't have a chance to, and then they had, like, weren't able to have a vote, and the next day, whatever, everyone disappeared, and they weren't able to vote like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's Takana. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's Takana never carried any weight. Why would we have a stand price of following the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri? So the Gemara wants to answer now, no. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, that Achrav Chazir Vatikna, really, after they said that there was Lo Nidra Shah, that there was Big Ligmar, that they were able to return to the issue, and eventually they had a Takana following the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So now we've just finished this statement of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and we basically came out to a very important halachas over there. Rav said that according to the view that there is Yesh Zika, so in the case where you have a Chalitza, which is considered it's deficient, the Yavama must go to the brothers, all of them, and do chalitza from each individual one to be removed. Shmuel disagrees, and he says one chalitza would be enough. This applies to the case where there is one yavama and two or more people to do yibum. Concerning the case where there are two yavamas and only one yavam, the zika and the yavamas are going to be different. Shmuel tells us that the better chalitza is going to release both of them, but the inferior one would not. That was the shita of Ravashi. Rashi is going to explain the daf chaf zayin amei, seemingly, that we go with Ravashi's explanation of Shmuel. It's going to be important. By the way, now turning out the next element now. Chaf zayin amei. Bailas aget to Bailas maimar. So here, if you have a brother who dies without any children, and there was two widows, he was married to Reuven, who was married to Sarah and Rachel, who were both his wives. So now, if the Yavam does a maimar with Sarah, and then he gives a get to a second one, what do you do? So he gives a get to the second one, so now you're not allowed to marry either one, because maimar works on the level of their abundance to say maybe you're going to marry her, but a get also works on the level of their abundance to say that there was chalitza. Since another one worked on the level of deraisa, really, but deraisa you could do yimam or chalitza with either one of you two, but derabanan, they're gemasakin, you can only do chalitza. So the question is, which one should you do chalitza? You have the choice to do one of them, to remove them both from chalitza, which one should you do? So, Ezum and Kodemus, which one should you do the chalitza with? In order to, again, you can't do yimam with either of them because of the takana derabanan now, so what do you do? So Gemara says, which one comes first? Mishum. So is it by the get adifa? Should the one who got the get, she should do chalitza with the second one in our case? So that would be who would I say? Sarah and Rachel. So Mishum Rachel. So Mishum to ask about chalitza because the Yavam has already begun doing chalitza with her. Odilma by the maimar adifa Mishum to krove labia, because doing that one would be stronger, because in the case of the get, you're still lacking something because she has to be given a get in addition to the chalitza. So in that case, the chalitza of the person who got the get is weaker in the sense that it accomplished less than the chalitza. It was already moved by the get. However, the chalitza's advantage, that would be the end. Sorry, the other way around. The chalitza of the maimar, you would have to do a get. That was the tachanar rabbanan. So that would be lacking a point. That's a krova labia thing, is that maybe you should also not do that one. So each one has a chisaron and a maila to doing the get, to doing the chalitza. So Gemara says, Amar Ravashi, Tashma, Amar Raya, Modra, Ben Gamliel. There was machlokas later on Daf Nun. We'll get to Ezra Shem. The Brisa said machlokas. There was machlokas in Raman Gamliel and Raman Gamliel and the Chachamim. Raman Gamliel holds that there is the ain get achar get in terms of the Yibum situation. If two Yavamas come before a person and he gives Sarah a get and then he gives Rachel a get, so the second get isn't valid at all. And in the terms of that, meaning the nafkamina being that he can marry the relatives of the second Yavama who he gave a get to. However, the Rabbanan said there are choshes for both gets, and therefore he's going to be usher to marry all the family members of both of them in this case. So he said, "Moda Rav Gamliel." Rav Gamliel is going to be Moda. That was the machlokas. Rav Gamliel Moda though she is get after Maimer. That there is a get after a Maimer. That if a Yavam does Maimer with the first one, the Sarah, then if he has someone else, then Rachel he does. If he does a get with Rachel, so that would be valid. And it would make him usher to marry the second person's family members, because he's already usher to marry the first one through Maimer, but he's additionally married to marry the second one. That's the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. Maimer achar get, and he also gets to Maimer achar get, if you get gift to the other way around, of Sarah first, and then Maimer, the second one, both of them require chalitza, and you can't marry the family members of either of them. So the Gemara points out, e get adif, now if a get is stronger than Maimer, lilahani Maimer basr, then the Maimer should not be effective after the get. And other way around, also be Maimer adif, if Maimer is better, lilahani get abasre. The get should not be effective after Maimer. So the Chor we learn from here, that get and Maimer are considered equal. It follows that the chalitza of a get and the Maimer are going to be equal, and neither is going to take a precedence over another. Since neither Zika is stronger, according to the doing chalitza with either should release both of them. So Gemara says, Shema Minah, we talk and learn from this, that would be a good point. Either one should be equal in this case. Now the Gemara goes back to another Shaila of Zika. Amar Avuna Marav, Shtei Achayas Yavamos. In the case we have two sisters who are two sisters, though they married brothers. Shenaf Lufne Yavam Echad. And they before one Yavam. The halacha is, Chalat L'Rishayna Hutra. If he performs Chalitza with one, that's going to be okay. Chalat L'Shniya Hutra. Chalitza with the second one also, so he's going to be removed. Mesa Rishayna. If the one first dies, mutar b'shnia, the other one's going to be permitted. Vein tarach loymar meitzur b'shnia, shemutar b'shana. The first one, the second one dies, permitted to take the first one in yibum. Mishum da havel yavama shutra v'nesra chavaz yehutra. Because in that case, the one who's widowed as yavama initially was going to be permitted, then permitted, and then permitted again. As Rashi explains, when the husband dies, he was eligible for yibum since the time she was the yavam's only zikuka. Afterwards, when the sister and the husband died, she becomes usher since she was going to be usher of the achaz zikukaso. So then it would be going to be usher. That's what Rashi explains. So Gemara says, Tachla terarishon. She should go back to original permitted states. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Mesa shnia mutar b'shona. The second wife dies, the yavam is going to be permitted to take the first one in yibum. Rabbi Yochanan holds because she was eligible for yibum the time she initially came to him. Aval mesa rishona usher b'shnia. If the first widow dies, he's permitted to take the second. Why? Because Ma'itama should go Yavama Sheinla and Ikarba Shas Nefila. Yavama Yavela, he couldn't marry her at the time when they were supposed to be doing Ibum. Hareza Ke'eshit Ach, Sheish Lavanim, Ve'asura. It's like the wife of a brother who had children and Asura. And she is usher for the Yavam permanently. Since she's not eligible for the moment of the brother's death, it's never going to be removed when this other lady dies. And that would be a problem. That would be the issue with Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, how could Rav disagree with Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan says a very good, compelling argument. Rav leisli ha'isvara. Rav doesn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Yamar Rav, kol ha'ish sheni koraba b'shas nefila yavam yavel le'arei keishazach sheish labanim v'asura. If you can't have the yibum at the moment that the brother dies, when they both fall before the second brother, it's going to be an eishazach and it's going to be usher forever. So he agrees to Rabbi Yochanan's principle. So why doesn't he hold like Rabbi Yochanan in this case? That's only the case where the Avama at the outset was having an Esher Esha'ach on a level of a Dereisa. If the Avama Kefal Yibam was married to her sister, so that she'd be Asher Midereisa, then subsequently the sister dies, that would be the case where we'd say that this halacha, this is the drasha of halacha here. Zika Derabanan, the whole concept of the Zika is going to be on a level of Derabanan. It disqualifies her from the second sister. Rav holds that when the Zika restriction is removed, since it's only an Esher Dereisa in the beginning, and a Derabanan rather in the beginning, when that talk is removed, that would be permitted now to do Yibum. So Gemara says, "Esiv Rabbi Yosi Berachanil Rabbi Yochanan." Rabbi Yosi Berachanina asked Katrin Rabbi Yochanan based on the Mishnah. Arba Achin, you have four brothers. Shneimem Nesuin Shteiachayas. Two of them are married to two sisters. Umesa Nesuin Nesachayas. And all those who were married to the sisters both died without any children, so that their widows fell before the remaining brothers for Yibum. Harelu Choltos of Lamas Yabos. That case, they do Chalitza, not be taken in Yibum. Aye, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan v'amai leku chad minai lechas l'shnia. One of the brothers should do chalitza with the second one. V'tav v'rishon agav v'idach. The first one will be other only will be an eser derabanan, and that's moved. Kivama shutra v'nesra v'lutra. It'll be a case of a yavam initially is permitted and then aser again. Tachra terishon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that should be mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us the second widow, the first one goes back to permitted state. Follows the same should be true of the achos ukasa and should also be permitted. L'chora this kasha. Rabbi Yochanan point out this is also a kasha and Rav. Rav also said that when it would be that the one who was would be permitted in this case because it was only necessary abundance. So it's a strong kasha also on Rav. The Rishon by the in the Chanami. There's a kasha for both of them. I don't know why the Gemara asked it. Maybe he was only around with Rabbi Yochanan, but really the kasha should apply just as equally to Rav. So the Gemara says Amarle Achos Ani Yodea Mishanan. The two sisters, I don't know who taught this Mishnah, it's not a reliable Mishnah, but if you do attack a hold of this Mishnah, then in Echanami you'd have a big problem with the way that Rabbi Yochanan says his halacha. So Gemara says now, Couldn't he respond? Rabbi Yochanan had a better answer. My choltos nami diktani. What does it mean by choltos? Choltos is chad. It means they only require that in the case where Reuben and Shimon died, they're married to two sisters. Only Levi does chalitza and achanami. Yehuda could then marry the other one. Gemara says because it says choltos, not they in the plural, meaning it sounds like both Levi and Yehuda are required to do chalitza. So let's give another answer. Rabbi Yochanan could respond to Rabbi Yosef and Chanina. My choltos, we're going to have like five of these now. My choltos, what is the meaning that they require chalitza? Choltos de alma means that women in general require chalitza in this situation. Every set of sisters who fall before two brothers are going to be considered someone who requires chalitza. So the Gemara says, because that also doesn't work with the Tzamit Diyak in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Harei Elu Ketanin. The Mishnah says that these sisters require chalitza, clearly referring in the plural to both sisters in this case. V'leimus, again, Maisha Rabbi Yochanan said the case refers to a specific case, Techalitz Leila Rishona Barisha, where one of the brothers initially performed chalitza with the first widow in the beginning, and the second widow may be taken in Yibum, like we want at the Taina. Again, the Gemara says, Choltos, going on back to Chav Chesem and Alfna, Lechav Chilak Tani, Mishnah says that these sisters require chalitza and implies that chalitza must be done to both in the first place, not merely just one of the, based on what the other one did, should you require both. It sounds like both of them require chalitza mi'ikara. So Gemara keeps persisting, Velei Malei, another kasha, Gzera, that it should be a Gzera, a decree, that even after one brother does chalitza, the other brother may not take the first widow in Yibam, because Dilma, Kadim, Chalitza, Rishon, Marisha, because of concern that one brother will go ahead and perform chalitza with the first widow in the beginning, and the other brother will take the second widow in Yibam. So that would, and this would be Asr, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, because she was Asr at the time that she came before him. And so therefore, to avoid this possibility, the sisters may be reversed, and therefore, this is the issue over here, and that's why this should be Asr. But if it began at the beginning, not to, why do you have to reject the whole Mishnah's understanding? Again, the Gemara is unhappy saying that all Mishnah that we have in the Masorah is not acceptable. So therefore, the Gemara kept going and pushing. So that wouldn't be the case over here also. So the Gemara points out that this is also problematic because below Misiavas Katani, the Mishnah says you may not be taken in Yibum, which implies the Leika Din Yibum Hacha Klal, that it does not, there's no halacha of Yibum applicable here at all, even if it occurs the second sister received chalitza from the very beginning. V'lei Malei, so Rabbi Yochanan should have said Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina that the reason that the Mishnah's halacha doesn't apply of Gzera Shema Yamos because of the concern that one of the brothers will die, leading to a problem where you're removing the mitzvah of chalitza or Yibum to the other widow. Which was the whole concern of the shita that we saw before. Rabbi Yochanan could have argued the opinion that there yesh zika. If one brother does chalitza with the second widow, it actually permitted for the other one to then take the first one. The reason that you can't do it because it's usher, because this mishnah the Tana holds that there is no zika. Meaning that's what my shita is yesh zika. This mishnah is the opinion that there is no zika, and his ruling is based on the principle that's usher to be vatal the mitzvah, as we've seen at daf chafav. And we explained this means that one cannot let one brother do the yitzvika because you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah for the second one, afraid that the other guy's going to die, which in which case there was no yibum chalitza done to that at all. Therefore, the Rabbanan made a takana that yibum should be removed. In this case, if both sisters are going to do chalitza, even after one brother does chalitza, the other one has to do chalitza as well. So again, that would be, maybe this would be a good point according to the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So out of concern for the freedom, we're going to back to the mitzvah. The Mishnah is telling us that when two sisters are coming before two brothers, both sisters require chalitza not to be taken yibum. However, the Tana agrees that if the sister was widowed, the second dies, the one widowed reverts back to the permitted state as Rabbi Yochanan Paskin. In this case, there would be no basis for the takana because she already is dead. Since the Mishnah can be explained in this reason, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan rule like this and say that this Mishnah taka makes sense? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Lamisa Lo Chayesh, because Rabbi Yochanan says it's not going to be that this whole Tana is concerned with the point of death. He holds that the people of the Mishnah never are concerned about a Stam Mishnah, wouldn't be concerned with the possibility of death. So you're going to tell me there's a Stam Mishnah over here that's Choshen Lamisa, and that's the reason you made Mevatel the Mitzvah. That's very far-fetched to say the Mitzvah would say like that. So that would be the point that it is a legitimate concern according to some Tanayim, but to say the Stam Tana according to that point of Rabbi Yochanan is very difficult to assume that way. So the Gemara says, "V'lei malei." So why don't Rabbi Yochanan say to Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina, Rabbi Elazar here, this mission is really the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Amar came on Sha'amda Alav Sha'achas B'Itzer. The Vama came B'Sha'as Azachon, and from an Esra level Lamis is also forever. And Rabbi Lazar's opinion, based on the Mishnah later, that even if the moment when the Yavama was forbidden to the oven was not the moment of the husband's death, she's remitted, permitted to him forever. So the Gemara says, "But the Sefer Rabbi Elazar Reish Lavar as a cause, the beginning part, the last point rather, of the Mishnah is the Stam Mishnah and is not the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. That implies that the first part of the Mishnah is also not the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, we'll ask you, we'll keep going, because we have a few more questions of Rabbi Yochanan. Be'ez Hashem, we'll go with that tomorrow's daf.